Vulnerability disclosure programs. What are they? Who has them? And what should be in them? A conversation with Jason Slagle, a security researcher and MSP. This is the Business of Tech. I'm talking today with Jason Slagle. Now, Jason, just in case people aren't familiar with who you are, who are you? What's your business and how are you in the MSP space?
Yeah, so my name is Jason Slagle. I'm the Vice President of Operations at MSP in the Toledo, Ohio area called CNWR. We're mid-sized MSP. We're not one of the small ones. We're not one of the giant behemoths. Been kind of active in the security realm and have a lot to discuss on various topics there. So I'm glad to be here.
So tell me a little bit about your security cred. Like what gives you the confidence to talk about this space?
Man, I've been doing this for a long time. So it's funny. I just gave a talk at GERCON, and as part of the research on that, I went back to some history, and I've actually been doing some amount of security since the late 90s. Right before it was cool. I ran the exploits team on the Delnet IRC network. If, for anyone here that might actually know what IRC is, and have been doing, you know, security stuff and binary analysis and reverse engineering for as long as I can remember.
See, there's enough geek code words in there to actually say you have some cred. So I want to talk today about vulnerability disclosure programs, bug bounty programs, and that space. So for those that aren't familiar, what is a vulnerability disclosure program?
Yeah, so at the very high level, a vulnerability disclosure program is the rules you have to follow to engage a vendor for looking for vulnerabilities in their platform so that they don't sue you, right? So from the very high level, like these are the rules to avoid legal action, because in the end, for some of these things, especially if it's a cloud-based system, you are bumping up against unauthorized access statutes, right? Like you don't want to be in a situation where you're poking in a way they don't allow you to poke, because now you're definitely breaking the law.
Gotcha. So then let's make this context for IT services companies, MSP. Why should they care about these programs?
They should care about these programs because they should care that their vendors are doing things correctly, right? So if there isn't a program in place, you're basically at the mercy of whether a vendor will allow a security researcher to actually poke at the product. There are definitely vendors in our space that historically have not been very friendly towards that. I think the whole industry is moving towards a little more friendly than they used to be. However, it definitely sets the guidelines for, you know, what me as a security researcher can do, right? So I care very much. I don't want to go to jail for looking for a vulnerability in some vendor's product.
Well, that's a key criteria, but what are you looking for when you analyze a vulnerability disclosure program? What are you looking for there to be to say this is a good program?
I have selfish things that I'm looking for that I think better in the industry. For me, one of the bigger takeaways are, you know, I like to see bounties, and we can talk about that because that's a part of it. And that's a whole separate topic that I think we need to defer for the moment. But I like to see that there isn't an NDA, right? Because one of the things is that I want to be able to publish my research, right? Because part of building that cred and that street, like awareness of who I am and who the company is and other things like that, is being able to actually talk about the things that we found. Now, that being said, we want to talk about the things we find responsibly, right? So I am not interested in, you know, releasing a zero day, right? Basically, and getting everyone popped. But once a vulnerability is fixed and sufficient time has elapsed to allow the parties to patch or upgrade, right, I should be able to talk about that. Other things that I'm looking for, I really would like you to define what's in and out of scope, right? It doesn't really do me, especially in the case of bounties, it doesn't do me a lot of good to spend a ton of hours basically developing a kill chain against something that you're just going to call out of scope, right? So, you know, show me where the guidelines are of what, you know, you are considering part of your platform and that's testable and what's not.
Gotcha. So one of the reasons you and I started talking this is there was a recent Washington Post article that covered Apple and their vulnerability disclosure program and the fact that they oftentimes accept those, but then there's a perception that they don't do anything with them. I've linked, I'll link to those who want to dig into that. What's your take, for example, as a big vendor on Apple's vulnerability disclosure program and their engagement here?
So, as somebody that does security research, I think their program is great because they pay really well. And I know a number of people that have made reasonably good money finding things like jailbreaks in Apple devices. That being said, you have to wonder what their culpability is if they actually know about a vulnerability and that vulnerability is not fixed and then that vulnerability is later exploited. Right. I realize they've got like a 9,000 page terms of service. Right. But at what point do they bear some responsibility for the outcome of that if they know about and don't fix a bug?
Okay, so let's contrast that with another large vendor to give people some thinking. How about Microsoft? What's their approach to this space?
Yeah, I mean, so they pay, very similarly to Apple. Like they're, I think them and Facebook are probably the three highest paying firms out there. They're a lot more transparent. They allow their people to be more transparent, and their things tend to get fixed quickly because they allow that some of that transparency. So if they don't get fixed, they tend to get published, right? So they're not locking you behind. You can't disclose. You can't disclose. At some point or another, you're allowed to disclose.
Gotcha. So they favor transparency a little bit more. Apple, as is tradition for them, a little bit more secretive. But both engage, pay, reward, and have established programs. That's kind of a bit of a fair assessment. Okay, so let's dive a little bit then into the IT services space, specifically as we think about the MSP players. How would you describe Datto's program?
I think Ryan is doing an amazing job. And so Ryan Weeks is this CISO of Datto. I think he's doing a really good job of trying to define a good program. And their VDP is solid. It's self-managed, right? So they have the chops to do it and they're handling it internally. They have not yet published a bounty schedule. I've had some discussions with him about that, and it all comes down to budget, right? Like, when you're a big publicly held company, they want to know how much money you're going to spend in this bucket. And he has indeed informed me, though, that they actually are actively paying bounties. He just doesn't have permission yet to publish the amounts.
Okay. But they've obviously said that they will. How about ConnectWise?
Their bounty program, and I've gotten permission from them because their bounty program is hidden behind an NDA, right? You have to be invited to it. So they have two programs. They have a VDP. The VDP is pretty basic, right? It just tells you how to engage them, what's in scope, out of scope, things I would expect. They also have a bounty program. To be invited to the bounty program, you have to contact them. I think at this point, they'll invite almost anyone if you ask them. But their bounty program contains an NDA. So, I mean, actually, not even supposed to talk about the bounty program. I've gotten permission from them to talk about the bounty program in various places. They pay, I think, from $100 on the low end to $2,000 on the high end, which is, I think, a bit on the low side. But they do pay some. But the trade-off is, if they pay you, can't release. Like, they're holding those bugs without express written permission. You cannot release anything that you found about a bug you submit to their program. You just can't release information about it. And I'm going to go out on a limb and say they're not really going to get permission.
Okay. So and I'm going to ask, that sounds like that approach is unusual as a researcher.
It's not super unusual. There's actually a good number of companies that hide behind that NDA. I don't like it.
Okay.
Recently at my talk at GERCON, I talked about this. I'm sitting in a room full of security researchers, some of which are new and trying to make a name for themselves, and forcing them to choose whether or not they want to publish and get, the name, or they want to receive a small bounty in the end is a really tough decision to put them in. Additionally, to me, this is all about transparency, right? Like in the end, what I really care about with all of these companies is be transparent with us about what's going on, about the fact that I had a risk, right? It's like Schrodinger's bug. Like, was I vulnerable or not? And that NDA hides the transparency. So I'm not a fan of it.
Okay, fair enough. How about Kaseya?
Kaseya's VDP is fairly standard. However, their language about bounties and what they're willing to do while they softened it a little bit, it was actually worse. I find it fairly hostile, right? It's like they're basically announcing loudly the fact that they're not going to pay you anything. And then, you know, six lines above it, they say they're going to jump you through a bunch of hoops to accept a submission from you, right? So it's like, you want me to do a bunch of work, but you're not willing to compensate me for any of that work. So the end result is, I think you're going to see two things. Either people, one, aren't going to security research them or for vulnerabilities, which I think is what they hope happens, or they're just going to release, right? And they're not going to work with them, or they're going to come out. And I think that's kind of is what we saw happen a little bit.
Okay. And how about Enable?
I have found very little information online about their program. The only information I've been able to find in multiple attempts to research, I have not reached out to them, but the only page is a security page that says you can email their PCERT team. And that's the only information I've ever been able to find about their program.
Okay. Is it normally traditional that if you have a program, you've published it and made that information easy to find?
Yeah, not everyone does, but okay. I think generally when you're the size of a company, like Enable or Kaseya or ConnectWise or Datto, right? When you get to that size, it's very common for you to publish it. There's actually a defined standard for how to publish them. There should be like a security.txt, I think, at the root of your website, and a couple other things that have become kind of a standard for researchers to go to find, like how they can poke at a given website specifically for cloud stuff.
Okay. So I want to, you said something there I want to go a little bit further into to help people understand. Where do you lump sort of sizes of vendors and what the expectation should be? It was easy for me to pull Microsoft and Apple, right? Really big, right? This cluster, the cluster of four I just went into in kind of, I think, probably a mid-size or like, you know, that. Where do you draw the lines on kind of expectations of these programs?
I don't know. That's actually a really good question. I've been kind of, you know, poking some vendors, and there's several vendors that in the channel that I think, because of how loud I'm being in particular, are trying to build programs around it. And I mean, I think that's great. A couple hours of effort, there's good templates you can use to do it. So in the end, it comes down to a couple hours worth of effort, an email address, security at, which should always exist. And then, you know, somebody to monitor the reports that come in, right? So the bar to do it is pretty low. But you know, I have a lot more sympathy for like a small company that doesn't have anything than, you know, a multi-million or billion-dollar company.
Sure. But it's definitely then implied tied to revenue. It would definitely be the way of looking at it, and you know, a bit of maybe perhaps the duck test. You know, when you see it.
I mean, okay. Presumably all four of those companies are big enough to have CISOs, and if you have a CISO, then there's really no reason they shouldn't exist.
Okay, that's a great relationship. If you've got somebody who is in that role, one of those outputs should be that program. So as we think about this, you know, one of the guidances that have come out recently that I've been talking about is the new CISA guidance for MSP's customers. And it has lots of stuff around disclosures and bills of sale. What's your take on that particular set of guidance?
It's from my standpoint, as somebody that's doing most of the things that they're asking us to do, it's goldmine. I just literally told our sales and marketing people, like, you need to be asking customers to get this document, send it to them, and ask their current provider if they're doing these things, because we are. I think it's fine, if not a little bit misguided, right? I do believe that there is a co-ownership of the responsibility there, and that the small and medium businesses should care about what their MSPs are doing security-wise. Whether I think that that particular thing, that particular document will be effective, I don't think it will be. Like, no one, if you're clued in enough to actually be reading this document, you're probably already doing the right things anyway.
Fair enough. All right. So the last bit here is thinking about, again, MSPs, IT services companies. What's the thing you want them to do in regards to this? Like, what's the action you think that they can take that will make a difference around bug disclosures, vulnerability programs? What do you want them doing?
Be more transparent. I mean, 100%, that has been my argument this whole time, is that what I need from an industry is I need transparency, right? I don't need these like weird closed door bats that go on between like Kaseya and ConnectWise because there's a vulnerability that happened somewhere, right? Like, I don't need the release notes for your product to not call out the fact that that thing you just released contains a security vulnerability, and I have to go to this other site to find out that, like, I really do need to apply this patch because it has security holes, right? It's that simple, right? The thing that makes me happy, I mean, I would love to see bounties, right? I would love to see bounties at a reasonable level. And I would define reasonable at a company the size of somebody like that or ConnectWise to be like 10,000 on the high end, 8 to 10,000, right? Based on research, I think that's pretty reasonable. But more importantly, it's definitely the transparency, right? Just stop pretending you don't have bugs. Everybody has bugs. Stop pretending you don't have security issues. Everyone has security issues. Whether or not you tell us about them, they exist. So be transparent. Tell us that you had a problem. Tell us what our risk might have been and tell us that you fixed it, right? And that's all I need to know. And that's because that's how I assess third-party risk.
It's interesting because what you're saying parallels what's being called for by lawmakers that's happening in the, you know, at the federal, when I look into the federal level, that's exactly the echo is transparency. So is this a criteria that an IT company, MSP, should be asking of any vendor that they worked for in your mind?
Yeah, actually, ASCII, their security, they spun up a security committee, and one of the first outputs of that committee was a document of questions that they feel should be asking their vendors. And there are a lot of questions around this and transparency.
Yeah, I covered it on the Daily Show because it's exactly that. I said that was exactly the work product they were working on. Well, cool. I think, Jason, you've given people a lot to think about here. If anybody wants to reach out to you, how do they get in touch?
I'm on LinkedIn, linkedin.com/in/JSlegel. you can also email me, jason@cnwr.com. Tend to be pretty responsive on either of those places.
Awesome. Thanks for coming on, Jason.
Cool. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this bonus episode of The Business of Tech. Remember, if you like this kind of content, you can support it directly. Visit patreon.com/MSP Radio for our Give What You Want program. Every little bit helps, and we are supported directly by listeners like you. I'll talk to you again tomorrow. The Business of Tech is written and produced by me, Dave Sobel. Like the content? Support the show at patreon.com/MSP Radio. Want to reach our listeners? MSPradio.com/engage.